بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Like, we continue our study inshallah ta'ala of this surah and hopefully we'll finish it. And we reached قوله تعالى لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. So this is the response to the oath, as we said. This is known as جواب القسم. And obviously what we're going to do after we finish explaining this ayah is we're going to have to tie it to the objects of the oath that were mentioned at the beginning of the surah. And that is التين, الزيتون, بلد الأمين, and طور سينين. These four that Allah Azza wa Jal took an oath by, they're the objects. He said that he took an oath by these objects to say, indeed we created man in the best of fashion, in the best of form. But there's always, when we study the oaths of the Qur'an, there's always a connection, a link between the objects and the subjects. So what does this ayah exactly have to do with the fig and the olive and Mount Sinai and the Balad al-Amin? Inshallah ta'ala, once we study this ayah, we'll tie them all together. So this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal began by saying, Laqad, the lamb. This lamb is known in Arabic as lamb al-tawqid, the lamb for emphasis. So in other words, emphasis is used when one doesn't believe in something. So what Allah Azza wa Jal is about to say, people don't believe in it. People aren't really believing in it. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, lamb, for sure, no doubt about it. Then he says, قَدْ, لَقَدْ. This قَدْ, in Arabic, it's got a function and that is known as affirmation, لِلْتَحْقِيقِ, they say. So in other words, it's another way of emphasizing as well. So now there's double emphasis in the ayah. And قَدْ, it translates to as being already. When you say قَدْ, in other words, you're referring to something that's already in the past. So for example, if you'd say قَدْ أَكَلْتُ, it means I already ate. Now Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا. The human being has already been created in ahsani taqweem, in the best of fashion. It isn't something he earned later on. He didn't become better later on. He was given it to begin with. From the very beginning, he was created in the best of fashion. And Allah Azza wa Jal honored the human being before he put you in the womb of your mother. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Indeed, we honored the son of Adam. This is even before you were put in the womb of your mother. Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا. خَلَقْنَا, we created. Allah Azza wa Jal didn't say the human being is in the best possible fashion. He didn't say, الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. He said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا. We created the human being in the best of fashion. So don't think it's the genetics or the chromosomes or all the other factors that came together and designed the human being in the best possible fashion. It is Allah. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who designed all this from the very beginning. Now, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ. The word al-insan is a very interesting word. And it comes from the word nasiya. Nasiya means to forget. So this human being, he forgot who fashioned him. And he forgot who created him. So it was used in this ayah. Now it'll come, its meaning will come later on. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي. فِي means in, inside of. أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيم. أَحْسَن comes from the word حَسَن. And Hasan basically means for something to be beautiful. Now, there are other words in the Arabic language that also mean for something to be beautiful. An example of this is the word bahij. وَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ بَهِيجٍ. Allah used it in Surah Qaf and in Surah Al-Hajj. Bahij basically also means for something to be beautiful. But bahij specifically is beauty that is pleasing to the eye. Meaning it's beautiful from the outside. And Husan, Ahsan, Husan, is both beauty on the inside and on the outside. This is the difference between Hasan and Bahij. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, Allah, certainly, certainly. The double certainly we're having is from the lamb and from qad. Certainly, certainly created the human being in the best form, both from the outside and from the inside. That is أَحْسَنِ. And you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's just not confuse this with the ayah in Surah Al-Sajdah, in where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ. In that surah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He said that He perfected the creation of every single thing. So what does it mean that now he says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ. Does it mean that the human being is the best possible creation and everything else is the worst possible creation? No, that doesn't mean, that's not right. The meaning is that Allah Azza wa Jal perfected the creation of every single thing. But especially the human being, he is above the rank when it comes to the best of creation. So for example, if I was to say, Allah Azza wa Jal perfected everything and he perfected the human being. What does that mean? I said in my statement that he perfected everything, but above all of the creation that is the most perfect is the human being. So when we say that Allah created the human being in the best possible form, it doesn't decrease anything else of what Allah Azza wa Jal created. It's only said to emphasize on that from all the creation of Allah, the best of them is al-insan. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. And then with this word ahsan, there's just a point on it. And obviously this is why we were given the responsibility of worship. The tree doesn't have the responsibility of worship. The mountains, the earth, they don't have the responsibility of worship. Who has it? وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. The human being has the responsibility of worship. Why? Because he was the created, the best of all creation. And because he was the best of all creation, he was capable of carrying that responsibility of worship. So there is no excuse to say, I can't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. The word taqweem, it comes from the word qama. Qama literally means for something to stand. Taqweem means to make something stand upright. قَوَّمَهُ, meaning to make him stand upright. Now, قَوَّمَ, the word قَوَّمَ is also used for straightening a spear that has become bent in the battle. So back in the days, they used to use the spears in the battle and they used to bend. Then they used to pick them up later on and then straighten them. That was قَوَّمَ السَّهَم. You would straighten the arrows. تَقْوِيم of the human being means to take multiple components, multiple parts of this human, and to balance them together so they are perfectly straight. That is taqweem of the insan. It also means to design something perfectly for the purpose of what it's being created for. Let me give you an example. So what is the purpose of a car? The purpose of a car is to drive. Okay? So it's made in such a way that it suits its purpose. It has four wheels and it has this slim shape on the outside so it can travel and go and come. So that's the car's purpose, is to travel, go around, and it was being designed to cater for that purpose. The purpose of the human being is what? لِيَعْبُدُونَ, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ means that he is being created in such a way that suits his purpose. You've been created in such a way that suits the purpose of worship. So you know, you're able to make ruku', you're able to make sujood, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you. You know, the ruku' and the sujood that we make, that Allah wants from us, a tree can't do. A mountain can't do. It has its own form of tasbih. But the way Allah wants it, is the way we make it, He put that in us. So this is, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. تَقْوِيمٍ means is to design something perfectly for the purpose it was being created for. Our purpose is worship, therefore everything Allah Azza wa Jal gave us must be used for the worship. Just like everything for the car is used for the travel. Subhanallah, this is لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. تَقْوِيم also means the includes the meaning of al-adl, ta'deel. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. تَقْوِيم is also ta'deel, which means the perfect balance. تَقْوِيم also means that Allah created you in the most best and perfect of balance. Meaning not only He perfectly straightened you in the creation, and that you're upright physically, that's one of the meaning of taqweem, is that He allowed you to stand upright, but also He made you morally upright. So it's not only the body that is perfect, but also the soul is balanced and it's upright. The personalities of the human being, they're balanced and they're upright. This is the meaning of ahsani taqweem. So basically ahsani taqweem, it suggests that we've been given what no other species has been given. And this ayah is a refutation to all those philosophers that said the human had no morals. And they said that the human being has no self-honor. And these are the people that argued the evolution of morality. So there is this understanding, this idea, the evolution of morality. They said that the human being began with no morals. He didn't know how to clean himself, didn't know how to eat, didn't know how to clean himself up and so on. And later on, that evolved to what he is now. Now he's civilized and now he's a decent human being. You know, I just want to share with you a point. You know, why did people begin to speak like this? Why did people start bringing in evolution theories? Whether it's the physical evolution theory, where they said people are monkeys, and then they evolved into being a human being just like now, or whether it's the theory or the evolution of morality, when they said that the human being had no morals, no character, no ethics, you know, and that he was a fool, and then he civilized himself, and now he was decent, you know, he's out to have interactions and sit with the people and so on. You know, why did people think like that? Why did people speak this evolution theory, this theory of evolution? You know, subhanAllah, the only reason they spoke like this is because they forgot about Allah Azza wa Jal being their creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah. And as a result, as a punishment, Allah made them forget their own selves. And you know, when you forget yourself, you begin to make up answers for yourself. So all these theories come about. The evolution theory only came about because people forgot that Allah is their creator. And they have lots of unanswered questions, so they begin to make theories. Maybe we were monkeys at the beginning, then we became like this. Allah made them forget their own selves. Subhanahu, that was the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon them. And you know, when people forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they think they're living a life of freedom and a life of comfort, where in reality they have become actual slaves to their desires, which they cannot quit due to the addiction to it. So, you know, subhanAllah, you find that the suicide rate is very high. That's a desire within the person. You forgot about Allah Azza wa Jal. What are you going to think about now? You know, it reaches a level where they start thinking about suicide. Strange crimes pop up from time to time. People doing weird things at a whole new different level. Corruption and crime is at a peak around the world. All this is because they forgot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because they forgot about Allah, the punishment was that He made them forget their own selves. And when Allah makes you forget your own self, you won't know where you came from, how you came here. You won't be able to identify the morality that Allah Azza wa Jal placed inside of you. You won't be able to identify the fitrah that you were created with, the iman that you had, the inclination to Allah and the love of good deeds. That'll all go away. SubhanAllah, that is a punishment of Allah upon those people. So this ayah is a refutation against those who produced such theories. Now, let's connect the subject of the oath, which is we created man in the best of fashion. Let's connect that to the objects of the oath, which were At-Teen, the fig, Az-Zaytun, the olive, Turi Sinin, Mount Sinai, Hadha al-Balad al-Amin, this peaceful, entrusted city. Now, there's a question and then you'll understand the link. How do you prove to a philosopher, I just told you what the philosophers used to mention of theories. How do you prove to these people that brought up the theories of evolution that man was created in the best of fashion? How do you prove it to them? It's very difficult. The objects of the oath are the proof. The objects of the oath are the proof that Allah created mankind in the best of fashion. So when we read Wat-Teen, we learned that this was a reference to Nuh alayhi salam. And also had a reference to Adam alayhi salam, as Al-Tabari mentioned. And when we read Az-Zaytun, we knew that that was a reference to who? To Isa alayhi salam, because that's where he comes up from, Bilad al-Sham, which is there's a lot of Zaytun in it. Wa Turi Sinin is a reference to who? Musa alayhi salam, because Allah spoke to him on that mountain. Wa Hadha al-Balad al-Amin is a reference to who? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam plus Ibrahim alayhi salam, because he's the one that inaugurated this city. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us that these messengers of Allah, Nuh, Isa, Musa, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam, these messengers of Allah are the biggest proof that the human being was created in the best possible fashion. You don't believe it? Read their seerah. Read their legacy and you'll know. Study these great personalities. And you know what ties all these prophets together? You know what ties them? One word. What is common between these five prophets? Ulul Azmi min ar-Rusul. You know, the mightiest of prophets and messengers. Call them the most preserving prophets. And they are the best human beings that walked this earth. And they were, and never they were slaves to their own desires. And they weren't anything near what the philosophers started or spoke about the human beings. They weren't people that had no morality. They weren't people that were monkeys, wal-iyadhu billah. You know, that never happened. So in order to prove that the human being was created in the best possible fashion, read the seerah of these prophets, Ulul Azmi min ar-Rusul plus Adam alayhi salam, and this will be the biggest proof that Allah Azza wa Jal created the human being in the most best possible fashion. Look at the morality they have. Look at the intelligence these prophets had. The prophets were smart people, that's why Allah chose them among all the rest of mankind. Subhanallah. For the proof that Allah created us in the best of fashion is in the lives of these prophets. Fi ahsani taqweem, my dear brothers, also doesn't only refer to our bodily creation. I told you that ahsani taqweem also refers to that Allah Azza wa Jal put inside of us the fitrah, that is part of ahsani taqweem, the iman, the outer creation, the inner creation, all of it is ahsani taqweem, the best of creation. Now, there is something in the language here we need to study so we can appreciate the beauty of the Qur'an. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا, we created. He did not say, he created. Allah Azza wa Jal didn't say, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. But we didn't say that. He said, خَلَقْنَا, we created. And you know, you notice, the surah after surah At-Teen is surah Al-Alaq. In surah Al-Alaq, Allah Azza wa Jal says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ. There's no خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ. خَلَقَ. So we need to understand, why did he say here, we created, as opposed to he created? Okay. He created, this implies, or they say this لِلْبَعِيد, meaning far, something that is really far away. We created, it brings a sense of تقريب, قرب, closeness. So when Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا, we created, Allah is illustrating His closeness to His creation. He's illustrating His closeness when He created. Also, this word we created, illustrates power and absolute control over what He created. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal has absolute control over water. So He says, وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, because He's in total control of the water. He's in total control of the human being. He said, خَلَقْنَا, we created. And he said, we, to bring himself closer to the creation, like an honor, that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who created you. So you should be honored the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal created you. So he said, لَقَدْ we created. Not he created, we created the insan in the best possible fashion. Now, that's لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا. There's one more, a very tricky sort of grammar rule, but it's very important to understand. We need to explain what is the difference between an active verb and a passive verb. Don't get lost, I'll explain to you what that is. The active form is the ayah. When Allah said, we created the human being, that's active. خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ, active. Passive would have been, the human being was created. We created the human being, active. The human being was created, that's passive. It's called لِلْمَجْهُولِ لِلْمَعْلُومِ in Arabic. Okay. And you know, in this ayah, it's passive. In this ayah, it's active. And this is, there's many examples in the Quran like this. For example, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا, we honored the son of Adam. لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ, why didn't you make prostration sujood for what I created with my own hands? That is active. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَمِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا أُمَّةٌ يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ, from nations that we created are nations that would guide the people to the truth. أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا أَيْدِينَا أَنْعَامًا, that we created for them cattle. Now, there are instances in the Qur'an where Allah Azza wa Jal speaks in the passive form. So for example, he says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, the human being was created weak. He didn't mention himself. Allah did not say in this ayah, خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ ضَعِيفًا. We created the human being weak. Why? When Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about Himself, that He created the best possible form, He puts His name with it. So He says, we created in the best possible form. When He speaks about the weakness of the human being, He didn't put His name next to it. Why? Because His name doesn't deserve to be put next to a negative term. And weakness is a negative term. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. The human being was created impatient. Allah did not say, we created the human being impatient. Because impatience is a negative term. And it's not deserving to Allah that they're together. And subhanAllah, in these ayat, Allah teaches us adab. Respect in how we even use the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. When there's something bad, you don't ascribe it to Allah, even though He's the one that made it. SubhanAllah. And this is even seen in the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. When I get sick, he did not say, if he makes me sick, you know, as opposed to the ayat before and after, he said, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي, He created me. وَالَّذِي يُطْعِمُنِي, He feeds me. يُمِيتُنِي, He's the one that causes death upon me. يُحْيِين, He's the one that causes life for me. But when he came to say that when I get sick, he said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ, if I get sick, because it's not appropriate to say, if he makes me sick. So this adab in how you use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, an example is seen also in Surah Al-Jinn. A very nice example. It comes in one ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. Awesome ayah brought these two together. Allah Azza wa Jal says that the jinn, they said, we don't know whether evil is intended for those on earth. We don't know whether evil is intended for those on earth or whether their Lord intended for them right path. When the right path was mentioned, the name Lord was mentioned. And when evil was mentioned, there was no Lord mentioned. SubhanAllah. And now, having this in mind, very interesting question arises in the next ayah. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. We reduced him to the lowest of low. You know, we created him in the best of form. Next ayah, we reduced him, we lowered him to the lowest of low. Now, isn't reduced him a negative term? So why did Allah ascribe it to Himself and saying, رَدَدْنَاهُ, we reduced him. We reduced him to the lowest of low is something negative. So why did Allah Azza wa Jal describe it to him? Now, I'm going to explain this point and then we'll go back to the ayah and give its tafsir. So let's just understand this. First, I'll give you an example. If I was to say, I raised a boy, he was a criminal. What does that allude to? That alludes that I wasn't good. I wasn't a good parent that raised this child. I wasn't good at raising a boy. That's why I raised the boy and he became a criminal. If I said, I built a table, it broke the next day. What does that mean? Now, I wasn't a good builder. Allah Azza wa Jal says, we created the human. That is active. We created the human in the best possible fashion. If the next ayah was, he was reduced to the lowest of low, that would mean, wal'iyadhu billah, that Allah wasn't good at creating the best possible fashion. SubhanAllah. So he said, we reduced him. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ. We created him high, and when he wasn't worth it, we ourselves reduced him to the lowest of low. So if the passive was mentioned in the ayah, had Allah said, ثُمَّ رُدَّ, there would have been a problem. It would have been a very bad meaning. So even that implication has been protected by the use of the active form. SubhanAllah. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا, we created the human being in the best fashion and we reduced him to the lowest of low. It's like if I said, I built a table, I destroyed it yesterday. What does that mean? It doesn't mean I was a bad builder of the table, it just means I destroyed it. So it doesn't take any credibility of what I was. And this is how Allah Azza wa Jal covered it from that angle, subhanAllah, so no one can poke at it. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ, we created. And radadnahu, obviously, it is a negative term, but he said, we reduced him to the lowest of low to give the understanding that if it was, he reduced him to the lowest of low, there would have been a problem. People would have said that he was reduced, then that means Allah Azza wa Jal wasn't good at creating the best possible creation. Subhanallah. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Now let's mention what this ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ means. There are two strong opinions among the Mufassirun as to what that actually means. Now I'm going to pay very careful attention for these ayat. One, being reduced to the lowest of low means reaching old age. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمُرِ. A lot of ulama brought this as a point, and some of the sahaba and the tabi'un had this as an opinion. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, meaning we reduced him and we returned him until he reached an old age. The weakness of those who used to be strong in their body and their mind, but they returned to a weak state, a state of weakness in the mind, and the body becomes weak and they begin to talk like a baby. Right? This is أَرْضَلِ الْعُمُرِ. This is رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. You know, some of the ulama, they even said that, you know, when an animal is something low. When an animal gets old, it can still work and it can still carry things. An animal that is old in age, it works until it drops down. But the human being, he reaches an age where he cannot walk anymore and he cannot carry anymore and he cannot do any work and any jobs anymore. He has to stop. For subhanAllah, when Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, meaning we reduced him in terms of ability to work even lower than an animal. At least an animal can still work. But the human being, when he reaches an old age, there's a time where he cannot physically work anymore before his death, you know. But an animal keeps working and working, working, working until it dies. So أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, in terms of working ability, the animal is working and you're lower than that. You understand? In terms of working ability. Okay. Some said that the insan, in where Allah Azza wa Jal, when he said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ, that insan actually was referring to the kuffar, the disbelievers. Muqatil رضي الله عنه and Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, they held the opinion that al-insan was actually referring to Abu Jahl. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ, meaning we created Abu Jahl in the best of fashion. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ, then we reduced him to the lowest of low. That's one opinion as well. Now, رَدَدْنَاهُ, رَدَّ means to reject something on the basis that it's unacceptable. So Allah Azza wa Jal created the kafir in the best of form. He created him with the fitrah. He created him a Muslim. But he did bad, unacceptable things. So Allah rejected him to the lowest of low. That is one of the meanings. Now let's understand this lowest of low, this idea of the lowest of low. You see, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he created the human and honored him above everyone and everything else. That's one. Number two, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the angels to make sujood to Adam alayhi salam. Make sujood to Adam. Three, not only that, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything on earth for the human being. Allah Azza wa Jal says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Everything on earth is at your disposal. It was created for your sake, so you can use it. لَكُمْ. So the animals, the cars, the trees, the oceans, whatever it is on earth, it's for you to use. Now, we're given the understanding of أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِ. As humans, we're supposed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet when the kafir worships other than Allah, when he lowers himself to a tree or to a stone, that which was created for him, for his service, in reality he's humiliated himself by lowering himself to something lower than him. And this is ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. I'll give you an example. The Hindus, they worship an animal. That is the cow. The cow, an animal, is something low by nature. It's low. When you worship it, you've become lower than it. Because if that's low, and you're worshipping it, you're lowering yourself to it, that's أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. That is the lowest of low. You understand? So when Allah said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, we created man in the best possible fashion, And the tafsir of Ibn Abbas, that this is the kuffar, the ayah would mean that we reduced him to the lowest of low, meaning that kafir worshipped other than Allah, and him worshipping other than Allah, he worshipped something that he was supposed to use for his service. That thing was lowered for him, but he lowered himself to it, it made him the lowest of low, that is asfala safilin. And you know, subhanAllah, let me just give you a beautiful understanding of this. You know, animals, think of it like this. The animal usually only attacks other animals when it's hungry or it's in danger. Yeah? An animal, if it's hungry, it'll attack another animal. Or if it's in danger, it'll attack the other animal until it's out of danger. That's it. But the human being, he attacks others even if he's full. And he attacks others even if he's not in danger. So what does that make him? Asfala safilin. But the animal didn't do that. The animal didn't eat more than what it needs. And it didn't harm more than what it needs. But the human being did that, so that is asfala, is lower than an animal. SubhanAllah. This is the kafir that did this. You know, this is the other thing. Animals will not do crimes like a human being. Like this genocide, mass rape, mass murder, killing, collective graves and so on. No, the animal doesn't do that. So the fact that the human being does this, what is that? He's the lower than an animal then. لَقَدْ خَلَأْ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. And this is beautiful when it comes in Surah Al-A'raf, in where Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُصُرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. He said, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. Not only that, بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. So when Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about the kuffar, the people of the fire, He said about them in this ayah, those people are like an'am, they're like cattle, they're animals. Then not only that, because an animal is something low, then Allah Azza wa Jal said, بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ, rather they are more astray. They're even lower than that. SubhanAllah. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. So this is, when we are saying the opinion of al-insan is the kuffar, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, would mean that we returned him to the lowest of low, he became lower than an animal. You know, and you know, it's beautiful how Allah Azza wa Jal gives that understanding of أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They're like animals and they're worse. I tell you why. You see, the cattle, and this subhanAllah, this it was noticed very recently. I was reading on it and I noticed it. That a cattle, let's say a cow, if you went to the farm and you're driving, and there's a cow in front of you, if you warn the cow, if you beep to the cow, some of them don't move. They just stand there, they just look at you, they don't move. And you know the human being, why is he lower than that? Because at least that's an animal that doesn't understand. The human being's being given an intellect, when he's warned about the punishment that's to come, he doesn't move. He doesn't know anything. So he deserved to be بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ, worse, you know. Because unlike the animal, he had an intellect, which when he was warned, he didn't move from the way of Jahannam. He stayed in that path. So subhanAllah, it's a beautiful understanding and a beautiful elaboration that Allah Azza wa Jal, when He mentions بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. Okay, so يعني, in instances, the animal becomes better than this type of human being that causes corruption and crimes on the earth. That is one opinion. The other opinion, so basically we've said that al-insan, an opinion is that it's all the people. If we're saying al-insan is all people, then رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ means he returned to old age. Return to old age. And that's normal. That's a believer and a disbeliever. Return to old age. If we said that al-insan means al-kafir, then radadnahu asfala safilin means we returned him to the lowest of low, meaning became lower than an animal. Now it won't mean that he became an old age. You understand? Okay. Now there's another famous opinion as to what asfala safilin means. What does it mean that we returned him to the lowest of low? It means the hellfire. Radadnahu asfala safilin means the hellfire. If Allah Azza wa Jal had honored the human being and he had lowered, and that human being lowered himself, you know, to the lowest of low in morals and ethics, then Allah Azza wa Jal will throw him in the lowest parts of the hellfire. That's what it would mean. Now there's the word thumma. Thumma, it's used in the Arabic litarahi. Yani thumma is a word that means after a long time. Thumma, the word thumma puts a gap between the time of أحسن تقويم, between the time of purity, the human being was created in the purity, and the رَدَدْنَاهُ, when we returned him and reduced him to the lowest of low. That's what ثُمَّ does. Because Allah said, خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ. The word ثُمَّ It implies that it wasn't straight away. That was he reduced to the lowest of low. It implies that there was a long time between he being the best of creation, and there was a long time until he reached the lowest of low. Okay, so what does that mean? Some of the ulama said that the human beings were pure. Ahsan, they began pure. When was that? When they took the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they were only as a soul. وَإِذَا خَذَّ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورٍ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَشَدَعُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. That's the covenant. When we're in the presence of Allah and Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, am I not your master? We all said, yes, we bear witness to that. That was the beginning. That was the, so before you were even a body. That was Ahsani Taqweem. Then, when the human being came to this worldly life, and then those who disbelieved became the lowest of low because they didn't uphold that agreement. So that's Thumma. That's how Thumma comes into perspective. That is the long duration. Between the time we took the covenant with Allah and the time he broke that promise between him and Allah Azza wa Jalla. The other say is that the human beings were born sinless. Born Muslim, ala al-fitra, upon decency. Thumma, then after a long while, he grew older. رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. That's the ending of the hadith in where the Prophet ﷺ says his parents would make him a Christian, a Jew, and so on. You understand? So that thumma, that long indication period, is from the moment he was born until he discovered the deen himself and he diverted his own way and يعني, he left the fitrah that he was upon. And the third understanding of thumma is that Allah Azza wa Jal did not make the human being the lowest of the low when they did the sin. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal gave them time to repent and to return to Him. And if they never returned and repented to Allah, then He rejected them and made them the lowest of low. So the thumma, that's what it indicates. Allah Azza wa Jal didn't say, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ وَرَدَدْنَاهُ. If He said وَرَدَدْنَاهُ, then that would have meant immediately after that happened. But thumma means that it was given a long time before he reduced him to the lowest of the low. Okay, now there's one very important point as well to discuss. And that is, how do we reconcile this ayah that Allah Azza wa Jal created the human being in best of form? How do we reconcile this with other ayat in the Quran in where Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ هَلُوعًا, that the human being was created urgent. Ajun, you know, urgent, in a rush. He was created weak. He was created impatient. So how? These things don't يعني, come in line with the best of creation. So how do we understand this? You see, Allah Azza wa Jal created the human being both a body and a soul. A body and a soul. When there is an imbalance in one of the two, for example, if there's too much worldly affair, and less spiritual connection with Allah, then man becomes weak, and he becomes impatient, and he becomes rushful in things. But when there's a balance between worldly activity and spiritual activity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this person stronger and puts him in an upright position, and that is ahsani taqweem. So we need to understand something, that ahsani taqweem means to balance the body and the soul. Balance the needs of the body and the soul. If you give too much concentration to the body, you like to fix the body, you like to take care of the body, and you like to entertain the body and put it in fun and excitement all the time, and you neglect the soul, then you're going to experience ajula, you're going to be rushful, you're going to experience halu'a, impatient, you're going to experience da'ifan, weakness in all sorts of things to your desire and everything. But when you learn how to balance these two, that's when ahsani taqweem would shine. Because Allah Azza wa Jal said, خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ. And al-insan is body and soul. So when you take care of both and you balance both, then and only you'll be able to control the other things. Subhanallah. So this is, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. And you know, when you, this is just like a car. The car would only work in the best possible form if you take care of it from the inside and the outside. If you only take care of the car from the inside, it's oil and it's petrol, and you neglect the wheels on the outside, what happens? It doesn't want to drive anymore. And if you took care of the outside and never cared of the inside, what happens? Doesn't work. So you got to take care of the inside and the outside for it to perfectly work the way it was designed to work. And the same thing as the human being. Inside and the outside, take care of both and you'll get the best result. And this is why now the ayah comes into place. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا from the inside وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ from the outside. Take the care of the two and then أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمُ would shine. Except for إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا believed. Inside action. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ and do righteous good deeds and outside action. And this is always a very familiar concept in the Qur'an. آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Why? Because iman leads to amal. Iman leads to doing good deeds. If there is no good deeds, then that means the iman should be in question. You know, good deeds won't come about like this. Only if they're followed by iman. So this is something we need to understand. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. عَمِلُوا is different to فَعَلُوا. Allah did not say وَفَعَلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. عَمِلُوا. عَمِلُوا, there's a difference between عَمَل and فَعَل. That Allah said عَمِلُوا and He didn't say فَعَلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. You know what's the difference? That عَمَل is something done with an intention and done with effort. So Allah and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Amal is something done with an intention. So وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ meaning when they do things, they do an intention. They have an intention behind what they're doing. And amal is with effort. فعل is with no intention. Like you blink, you breathe. That's a فعل. And that's recorded. يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. The angels write everything. Whether you intend or you don't intend. But when Allah judges, He only judges what you intend. وَوْفِيَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ. Not ma fa'alat. This is part of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon His slaves. But amilu salihat. Amal also means to have effort into something. So Allah Azza wa Jalla describes the believers are people that don't just do good, they have an intention behind the good, and they put lots of effort in the good they do. Why do we say amal is effort? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His actions, He says fi'al. And fi'al means with no effort. And when Allah does something, it doesn't require any effort. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Didn't you see how your Lord dealt with أَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ? He used the word fa'al. Because fa'al doesn't require any intention. No intent, it just strikes. Allah Azza wa Jal just sent it over him. And fi'al, no effort. And for Allah to destroy people, that they require no effort from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the difference. So وَعَمِلُوا, not فَعَلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So when you do a good deed, these two things need to be in mind and in place. The first one is that the intention behind the good deed, and the second, and we're speaking about the word amal, and the second is that you need to put lots of effort. And obviously there are two conditions in how the amal al-salihat is accepted, and the two conditions that they should be sincere only for Allah Azza wa Jal, and the other is that it needs to be in accordance with what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught. Now you know, later on in the surah, we'll read Surah Al-Asr. And in Surah Al-Asr, Allah Azza wa Jal expands on this. He says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. What? وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. He there's no وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Why? Because here Allah Azza wa Jal is speaking about what would save you from أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. So He said, we reduced him to the lowest of low. On one opinion, that lowest of low is the fire. What will save you from the fire? Two things. آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. In Surah Al-Asr, He spoke about khusr, about loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْر. What will save you from loss? Not two things, four things. آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. When we get there, we'll explain a bit more. Basically, in Surah Al-Asr, it goes into further explanation and there will be a lot of relevance between that surah and Surah At-Teen. When we get that, we'll explain. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ. Only for them. Only for those who did good and did good deeds and believed. No one else. أجرٌ, a pay, a reward. غير ممنون. منا أي قطع. منا means to cut something. So غير ممنون غير مقطوع. Meaning they would be given a reward that will never cut, that will never be discontinued. What is that reward? The paradise. Once they enter the paradise, they never come out of it. So that's a reward that's ongoing. You know, this is أجرٌ غير ممنون. And subhanAllah, their deeds was for a short time. آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. How long is that? Until you die. آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And the reward is endless. غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. It's open, endless. It doesn't finish what Allah Azza wa Jal gives them. You know, and you think of this, in this worldly life, every reward you get in this life is endless. Every reward you get in this life is ends. So you work, you get paid. Then you work, you get paid. Then the pay is gone. You got to work more, you get paid. You work more, it is gone. Except one thing, and that is you do the work of آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Do that job, and the pay is endless. أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. A reward that never ceases to end. Okay. Now there's something to understand here also. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. What is very beautiful about this surah is that each ayah carried more than one opinion. And because it carried more than opinion, we're going to have to keep going back and going forward to explain it in that light. So, what did we say about أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ? One opinion, what did we say?
Old age.
Okay. So, أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Allah, let's say that it's أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ now. We've got to understand the exception. Because Allah is saying we reduced him to the lowest of low, meaning we reduced him to old age, except those who believe and do good deeds. What does that mean? We reduced him to old age, except, illa, those who did amanu and did righteous good deeds, lahum ajrun, falahum ajrun ghayru mamnoon, for them will be reward that doesn't cease to stop. Now what does that mean? You know, subhanallah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith, that when a slave suffers from illness, or when he travels, he will get the reward similar to that he gets for good deeds practiced at home when he was in good health. It's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. That when you get sick, and when people become old age, what usually happens? They tend to become really sick. And when you become sick, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Meaning those who used to do righteous good deeds during their younger age, when they reach old age, لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal writes for them reward of what they used to do when they used to be healthy. Do you understand? That's أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. It's not discontinued reward, it continues until they die. SubhanAllah. This is one of the meanings. It came in a hadith. It's a beautiful meaning. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. And what was the other meaning of أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ? We said one, old age. Now we understood it in light of the other ayah that's after, which is the exception. And the other one is? The fire. So if أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ means the fire, it's pretty simple to understand the one after. We reduced him to the lowest of low, meaning we threw him into the fire, except those who believed and did righteous good deeds, for them would be the paradise, which is أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. That would be understood. فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. We're reaching the last two ayat. There's a beautiful placement of this ayah. You know, so far the discussion has been about the human being. And really, the human being, in reality, he's not an animal. He is more than an animal. That's the discussion so far to teach us this lesson. And if you come to that realization that the human being is high and more than that, and that he possesses an intellect, and he can study, and he can think, and he can comprehend and understand, and he can live life better than an animal, doesn't that then lead you to think that you might actually have a higher purpose? So then Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. What is going to make you lie against the deen? Why are you still lying against the deen? If these were the truths and the facts that Allah presented, why are you still lying against the deen? فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ فَا. All this argument, haven't you already realized? That's what fa means. فَمَا. This ma could be referred or يعني implies to ma. One, it could be a mal masdariyah, as they say, or mal mawsoolah. Let's understand in the two يعني implications what each one means. If it's mal masdariyah, then it would mean what? And if it's mal mawsoolah, then it means what kind of person? Mal mawsoolah means فَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُكَ. What kind of person? But let's understand it as being mal mawsoolah first. Mal masdariyah, sorry. What will make you lie against the deen? If it's mal masdariyah, the ayah would mean What would make you lie against the deen? After all this, what is it that is so powerful that still makes you lie against the deen? You know, yukadhibuka comes from the word takdhib. Takdhib means to deliberately lie against the truth. You know someone is truthful, but you accuse them of being a liar. That is takdhib. And people nowadays don't want to follow the religion, and they don't want to follow the truth. So what do? And at the same time, they don't want to admit that they're bad people. So they begin to criticize the religion and show the people how illogic it is. And they begin to sort of make the people feel uncomfortable with the deen, and that makes them now feel comfortable. So instead of them saying that this deen is incorrect and so on, they begin to criticize the religion so that they feel comfortable, instead of saying, look, I'm bad, I'm just not a religious, I can't commit. Instead of saying that, that's going to make him feel bad. I'll just say that, oh, that just doesn't make sense. You know, and Allah will criticize the ayat in it and the ahadith. So this is the reason why that people, they poke hole and make fun of the ayat and the hadith, isn't that they don't want to follow it, not because they don't want to follow it, but it's because they don't want to follow, not because they are curious about the ayat and it doesn't make sense and so on. So that is takdhib in itself. Now, and that is, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. What will make you, and this is referring to the kuffar, what will make you lie against the deen? What is it? The only thing that makes them lie against the deen is that they cannot stand it for themselves. It is the truth out there, that's the word takdhib, implied the meaning that it's truth, and they know it's true, but they cannot admit that they're bad people, so they just don't want anything to do with it. The other meaning of ma is mal mawsoola. If it's mal mawsoola, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ would mean, فَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. The kaf in yukadhibuka would refer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the meaning of that would be, what kind of person would lie against you sallallahu alaihi wasallam in regards to the deen? What kind of person would lie against you? You know, it can only be the lowest of low that lied against you. That's the only kind of person that could lie against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this ayah is a direct slap and a direct humiliation to Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and all the mushrikun. That first, Allah Azza wa Jal called them asfala safileen. Second, He's saying, what kind of person would reject you? Who? Only people that are left, the only people that are left are asfala safileen. So, subhanAllah, they are being humiliated by these words. فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. The word ad-deen is beautiful as well. You see, the beginning of the surah was about messengers who came with the deen. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين was about the prophets. نوح, آدم, موسى, عيسى, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, إبراهيم عليهم السلام. All these prophets, what did they come with? They came with a deen. And subhanAllah, the ending of the surah comes with that word, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. But let me tell you something about a deen. Some of the ulama also say, a deen أي الجزاء. What makes you lie against the day of judgment? And you know, the word ad-deen, when it's used, it's the most comprehensive word because it joins both. Ad-deen covers the afterlife, because ad-deen means jazat. It means precise judgment, and that's the accounting hold on the day of judgment. And ad-deen, it also covers this life because the messengers came with ad-deen. So when Allah says, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ, what makes you lie against the deen, meaning the deen, the religion that has been sent, and the deen, which is the day of judgment as well, subhanAllah. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. This is the last ayah. Isn't Allah the most judge, or the most just of judges? This is أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. There are narrations that mention that when the Prophet ﷺ would read this, he'd say, بَلَى وَأَنَا عَلَى ذَلِكَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. He'd say, yes, I bear witness to that. But most of the ulama said that this is da'if, hadith da'if. But anyway, it's been mentioned. So, and why? Because this is a powerful statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes at the end of the surah, that there came a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, yes, and I'm the first to bear witness that you are the just of all judges. Now, the way the question is asked is directed to the one who is ungrateful. Because this came in a question format, we need to understand. You know, if I say, didn't I take care of you? Didn't I take care of you? What does that mean? Meaning, I took care of you, sure, and you forgot that I took care of you? That's what it means. If I told you, didn't I buy you this? Meaning, what's wrong with you? Why did you forget that I bought you this? And subhanAllah, this way, the way that it's been asked is to scold someone that has forgotten. The most obvious. To scold someone that has forgotten something that is very obvious. So isn't Allah the ultimate ruler of rulers? Did you forget? Did you forget who created you? Did you forget who created you in the best possible fashion? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ The words أَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ The words ahkam and hakimin both come from the word hikmah, which means what? Wisdom. And it also comes from the word hukam. Hukam means what? Judgment, rulership. Now, ahkam could mean the wisest. Ahkam could mean the wisest. Ahkam could also mean the appropriate ruler, the best ruler. Hakimin, al-hakimin could also mean rulers, and could also mean wise people. And this actually means that there are four statements in one. Ahkam al-Hakimin is actually four statements. And this is the beauty of the ayat. Let me share with you the four statements. Ahkam al-Hakimin, one, means that Allah Azza wa Jal is the wisest of the wise. Two, it means Allah Azza wa Jal is the most rightful judge among all those who claim have to have wisdom. So he's the best judge among the wise. Three, it means the most appropriate judge of all judges. The best judge of all judges. And four, it means the wisest of all judges. Because you have two for Ahkam and you have two for Hakimin, and you'll need to cross multiply them with each other. So you have four meanings. Let me repeat them to you. Ahkam al-Hakimin means Allah is the wisest of the wise. He is the best judge among the wise. He's the best judge of all judges. He's the wise of all judges. This is what it is. Ahkam al-Hakimin. And you know, subhanAllah, the beauty of this surah is that almost every single word that came at the end of an ayah had two meanings. So there you look at Al-Tini wa Zaytun, and we discussed the two meanings that that had. وَطُورِ سِنِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ What did we say Amin was? Amin could either be an entrustful city from Amana or from Aman. Meaning it's an entrusted city. That's where Allah Azza wa Jal put His trust and responsibility in. And it also could be Amin. Meaning it's a safe, peaceful city. The word Taqweem had also the meaning of being created the best of fashion from the outside and also balanced from the inside. Safilin, Asfala Safilin. What did the two meanings? Old age and the fire. Ajrun غَيْرُ mamnoon also has the two meanings, you know, of reward not being cut for that of the believers, which is the paradise, and the other meaning of the reward not being cut. فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ Deen had two meanings. What were they? The religion and the hereafter, the day of judgment. أَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ also had two meanings. The judgment of Allah and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the beauty of the surah. That every single, the end word of every ayah had two meanings. Okay. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ A few more remarks and we finish inshaAllah ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal did not say at the end of the ayah, the end of the surah, أَلَسْنَا بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ Although that's been the contest and the theme of the surah. He said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ So why didn't he say, أَلَسْنَا بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ Why didn't he say, we are the best of judge? Or the best, the most just of judges. Why? This is why. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ This is third person speech. Isn't Allah, when His name is mentioned, that's third person. You know why? Because in creation, He can show His closeness. But this ayah is about the justice of Allah. And when it comes to justice, there is no closeness. The judge, when the judge is judging, he cannot be close to anyone. He has to judge him fairly. So there is no alasna. Because alasna would imply the meaning of being close. Since this ayah is speaking about justice and the judgment of Allah, there is no one. No one is saved from that. And there is no one that Allah Azza wa Jal would يعني, sort of side for him and side no, don't side for another. No. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ with everyone. So since justice comes first in the sight of the judge, it was put in third person so that it does not imply that closeness. You understand? That's أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ This is a final remark, inshallah ta'ala, just to mention the beginning and ending of the surah and just to mention the structure of the surah. Let me just go with you one more time, it's, inshallah, in a few minutes. Let's just summarize the form of the surah so that you can have a view from the outside of the surah. You know, the surah began by mentioning the legacies of great prophets. Tin al-Zaytun, Tur al-Sinin, Ahad al-Balad al-Amin. With the best characteristics for humanity. These were the prophets. That's how it began. And then Allah Azza wa Jal discusses in the center of the surah that He created the insan in the best possible form. And the proof of that is what? The five messengers that came before this ayah. And whoever rejects those prophets, رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, we reduce him to the lowest of low. But not everyone rejected them. So that is إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. For them is what? أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. And now that you have understood this basic message, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ, what prevents you? And what makes you lie against the deen? And what prevents you from following the guidance? You know? And which guidance should you be following? أحكم الحاكمين. The guidance of أحكم الحاكمين. This is basically the structure of the surah and how it smoothly flows. And the last remark is connecting the beginning of the surah to the end. Pretty much we already mentioned it, but let's just mention it as a side point. It began with three oaths, or basically four oaths. And Allah Azza wa Jal called us to ponder over the magnificent creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whether it's the human being, ponder over this magnificent creation. خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Whether it's a fruit, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونَ, ponder over this magnificent creation. Whether it's the tree, whether the tree of the fig, or whether it's the tree of the olive, whether it's the mountain, وَطُورِ سِنِينَ, whatever it is. Whether it's a country, the location, الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to ponder over this magnificent creation. And at the end of the surah, He says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ, meaning there are things Allah did in His wisdom. Why did he choose Mecca to be al-Balad al-Amin, in a desert, in a dead place? What's the answer? أَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ, because He's the wisest of all wise people. And with His wisdom, He placed it where it is. SubhanAllah. Why did Allah speak to Musa alayhi salam on Jabal al-Tur? Because He's أَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ, you know? Why did the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam land on Al-Judi? Why? Because He's أَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. So sometimes there are things you won't understand. And if you don't understand them, خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, maybe you can't understand. How is the human being created in the best of fashion? Relax. And all you have to understand is أَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. That it's by the wisdom of Allah that He created what He created and how He created it. You know? SubhanAllah. So a very beautiful beginning and a very beautiful ending to the surah. Ah, yes, there is one more thing. I keep saying one more thing, we're totally above. We made a new lesson. But this was one thing that I promised you from last week, so this is why I have to share. I told you about that Japanese research team that accepted Islam. And this also has to do with some relationship with the objects of the oath and the subject of the oath. So subhanAllah, you know, in medical science and in research, they have found that the human being, when he reaches the age of 50, there's a protein from inside of him, or let's say there's a particle from inside of the body that it's produced in the body. And that product in the body, it keeps the skin fresh and it keeps it alive and it delays aging and it delays the signs of wrinkling. Okay? There's an enzyme in the body that does this. By the age of 50, this enzyme stops. It doesn't produce as good as it used to when you were younger. So scientists wanted to find where this enzyme could be found so they can bring it and give it to the human being when he's 50 years of age, so they can delay the wrinkling. So what they did is they found it in animals. But they also found that it disappears in animals when they reach a certain age, so they couldn't benefit from it. So they went and they focused their attention to plants. Let's see if we can find it in plants. And subhanAllah, strangely enough, they found it in atin. They found it in the fig. But then they found that when you bring the fig by itself, it has that sort of product inside of it that delays the the signs of wrinkling, but by itself it didn't have the effect on its own. So they looked for another plant, and it was az-zaytun. It was the olive. And so they had a problem now, that they have the fig and the olive. Now they need to work out a ratio. How much din to how much olive that would delay the signs of wrinkling that the person can eat. For subhanAllah, they found that the ratio is one fig to seven olives. And now there's a professor, a alim, in Jami'at al-Azhar, in the University of Al-Azhar in Egypt. He heard that study, and he did a study on the Qur'an, and he found that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned At-Teen once, and he mentioned Az-Zaytun six times in the Qur'an, and a seventh time, but indirectly. وَشَجَرَةً تَخْرُجُ مِن طُورِ سَيْنَاءَ. That's referring to Az-Zaytun, but he didn't mention it directly, Az-Zaytun. So he found that is one mention of the fig and seven mention of the olive. And that is the science. And what they came up with is that one fig plus seven olives delays the signs of aging. And how is this beautiful in this center, in this ayah, is that Allah mentioned it at the beginning, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونَ. And then he said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيبٍ. We created him in the best possible fashion. And perhaps to preserve that best possible fashion and to keep that skin looking as it is now, At-Tini wa Zaytun helps in that. SubhanAllah. So he sent his research, this imam, this scholar, he sent his research to the team of the Japanese, and they looked at it, and they looked carefully into it, and after seeing the truths, they accepted Islam. And this is a Japanese team, and this story is known, these are pages of it, it's known, it's on the news and so on. Around the Muslim world, obviously, for subhanAllah, it just goes to show that the beauty and the miracles of the Qur'an are endless. Every day something comes out, subhanAllah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us people of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.